listening to WCNO Palm City.
61 million, that is the number of people age 12 and older used drugs last year, illicit drugs. Most commonly used illicit drug was marijuana, which is 52 million people used. 9.2 million people 12 and older misused opiates in the past year. 46 million age of 12 and older. The population met the applicable DSM-5 criteria, whatever that means, for having substance disorder. So it's kind of crazy. I know that when Sheriff Lohr was the sheriff of Indian River County, he told me that once every 13 days we lose somebody to ODing, overdosing. I thought that sounded crazy. Every 13 days in little Vero Beach, Florida, little enclave seaside town and in Florida, about an hour north of Palm Beach, 2.5 hours south of Daytona. Pretty amazing. Yep, every 13 days, somebody dies in this little village. It's gotten crazy. Pastor Al Pigozzi, am I pronouncing it right, Pastor?
Pigozzi.
Pigozzi. Hey, what's the matter with me, huh?
What's the matter with you?
I'm gonna send somebody up to talk to you, make you an offer. You got a Pigozzi. What are you talking about, Pigozzi? What are you talking about? Pigozzi.
That's correct.
So welcome, Pastor Al Pigozzi, and he is with Plant a Seed Ministries. They're a recovery project. Michael Simos, he better known as Michael the Greek, is in the studio too. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Great to have you here, and I thank you I thank you for booking Pastor Al. Tell me, what were your thoughts very briefly of why you decided to book Pastor Al Pigozzi on this broadcast?
I've known Pastor Al for a number of years, and he's a man of integrity and local ministry in Fort Pierce in what's known as the heart of the hood, Avenue D. And quite frankly, he's been an example not only to the community, but to those individuals around him as well in ministry. Started out with men and women in recovery, and now he's exclusively working with men. He can give you a better idea with that, but also Pastor Al is very involved with the St. Lucie County Sheriff's Office, St. Lucie County Jail at Rock Road. We've actually ministered a handful of times together in the past.
Okay, is that the jail that you and I went into?
Yes, sir. That's the what we went into was the spiritual learning dorm. Pastor Al goes in there on a All weekly right. basis as well.
Okay, so yes, listen. Sir. So what was I going to ask you? Something there. All right. So I know that when I went Sheriff Lohr was the president was the sheriff. He took me in one day. I guess it's what do they do on Fridays when they have the newest inmates that have just been arrested? They stand in front of a TV camera, or they go in. Either way, they stand in front of the judge. It's called first something.
First appearance, right, Pastor? Yeah,
first appearance.
Okay, and we noticed that of the 12 people arrested the night before, 11 of them were influenced by either drugs or alcohol. So if there wasn't alcohol or illicit drugs out there, 11 of those people undoubtedly would not have been in prison. So it's quite a scourge on our society, is it not, Pastor Al? Because people do things that are totally contradictory to their natural personalities, like stealing or selling their bodies, in case of women mostly, to get drugs. It's kind of crazy, isn't it, Pastor?
Well, my experience has told me that people in jail, for the most part, even violent criminals, are either getting the drug, going to get the drug high when they commit the crime, or they've just been dysfunctional from the family all the way up to drugs and alcohol. It's like a learned behavior, and the next thing you know, they're in jail. So it's really, I told Major Ty when he had the jail that you have the best rehab and mental institution in St. Lucie County, because he would house 1,300-plus inmates or detainees, as they are, because most of them still have to go to court to see if they're guilty or not. Because what happens is they get dried out. We go in there to preach and help and teach and get recovery involved inside the jail. And the next thing you know, when they come out, places like myself, which is transitional housing, they have an opportunity to continue their education in regards to drug and alcohol abuse. It's only a day at a time kind of program. I'm sober since December 21st, 1989, from a homeless condition, from stealing everything I could ever steal to crack cocaine addiction. And you know, people probably just said, he's a waste. He'll never make it anywhere. But I didn't want to be that kind of person. The addiction is that powerful. You do the things you're not supposed to do. Romans 7:18 tells us that. I do the things I don't want to do, even though I know they're no good, I do them anyway. It's not me, it's the spirit inside me, and the enemy takes control of that, and the next thing you know, you're gone to the races. You don't want to be who you are. You hate it, but you got to have it.
Now, I understand about recidivism, and that's the guys that get out and then returning to jail, without a program, without a conversion, a true conversion to the Lord Jesus, they end up coming back 90% of the time. But where they have a conversion to Jesus, a true one, it goes way down. It's like only 10% or something, or 20% ever return to prison. So having a faith-based program and getting these people to get connected to a living God can turn their lives around, I presume. Now, you started off, at what age did you begin drinking?
At 16 years old was the first time I smoked marijuana. And then I never smoked cigarettes. I was an athlete my whole life, so I never believed in cigarettes. And then it was marijuana. It led into alcohol, and then alcohol led into pills. And then later on in 1986, they developed this cocaine that was crack. And I started cooking it, and then I was able to purchase it. I came out of Brooklyn, New York, and, became hell, to put it mildly.
You know, I had a man sitting in your seat about a year ago. His name is Al Black. I don't know if you know Al. He is a black man, in fact, and he's a famous highwayman painter.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah, lives in Fort Pierce. And he told me that he was addicted to crack cocaine, and me being, I've never even tried that stuff, so I have no idea what it's like. But he said, the addiction to crack cocaine is so severe, it's worse than anything, worse than heroin, worse than cigarettes, worse than anything. You can't get out of it. He said, I guess he was in his jail cell, and he said this big ball of light appeared in front of him. He said, if you're Jesus, get brighter. It even got brighter. And he said he was instantaneously and absolutely, indubitably, without any doubt, he was delivered instantly from his addiction to cocaine, never has gone back to it. What happened to you? I mean, you started at 16, and what age did you get sober? How many years later?
33 years old, 17 years later.
17 years later. Well, 33 is early in the rooms of the 12-step programs. So at least you made it in by then. How old are you now, if you don't mind my asking?
I'm 66 years old.
Well, you're a youngster, yes. I'm in my 70th year, so you can refer to me as sir henceforth.
Yes, sir.
I hate being the oldest guy in the room. I'm just the kid inside. Pastor Al, I'm just the kid.
I get it.
Inside this old guy's body.
I get it.
Barbara says I go between 5 and 8.
That's okay.
The eight-year-old's a little more mature. I will tell you, just to be totally upfront, I got born again at the age of 29, had a glorious salvation alone in my living room, living in the ghetto of Troy, New York, as a struggling songwriter. But then years later, I lost a relationship. Right before the loss of the relationship, I lost my mother. My mother and I were very close. My father was killed in a car accident the day before my 5th birthday. So we had an extremely close relationship. So my best friend living alone became Glenn Levitt Scotch. Mm-hmm. I never, ever thought, addicts, that's somebody living underneath a bridge or whatever. But before I knew it, it was every night. And then it started to be 3 o'clock in the morning to get rid of the shakes. And then it was in the morning. And finally, I couldn't stop. I just couldn't stop for about a year. It was a short but glorious run, someone said. And then I called out to Jesus about 2 o'clock in the morning. They say it's a moment of clarity. And I said, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. Duh. I was in charge. I was playing God again. But finally, I let God be God again, because I know there's a God and I know I'm not him. And within a few days, I was in the 12-step programs, in the rooms of 12-step, and celebrating almost 14 years of sobriety. So, which is, it's kind of humiliating to a guy that thought he was above being an addict. I still can't believe that to attribute that word to myself. I'm not an addict. I mean, those are the lower class guys. Those are the bad guys. No, it strikes everybody. Now, I go into the rooms. There's judges right in town. There's at least three judges, doctors, surgeons. I mean, there's politicians. Of course, there's politicians. That's a joke. Anyway, no, I shouldn't laugh. I know you guys aren't laughing, but anyway. So, Pastor Al, tell us what you're doing. This is such a very important ministry because somebody there to pull someone out of the hole, you know?
Well, here's what happened. In my case, I was raised by people coming in from the Andrea Doria to Ellis Island from Italy. So I'm born and raised through Italian parents. They treated me very well. I had great parents. I wasn't one of these guys in a broken home. But we had tragedy in my house. My brother got electrocuted accidentally. And from then on there, my mom really lost the will to live. She started drinking, which I couldn't believe. And the next thing you know, she killed herself. She not accidentally. She kept eating not vitamins, but aspirins, thinking that she's going to heal herself and drink and aspirins and drink. So she exploded her stomach and she died. So I had this tragedy go on in my life. I couldn't get rid of the pain. So I didn't know. Once I found alcohol, it was like, wow, you know, oh, it gave me peace. And then once I started getting addicted to cocaine, cocaine is a completely different head. It doesn't give you peace. It gives you anxiety and craziness. But I found the combination of Valium or Tylenols and drugs like that that would bring me to a down. So I'd go up and down all day long like on an elevator, wasting my life away trying to find a place where I could find comfort. I could never find comfort. I was the guy that hated God because look at what happened to my family. I wasn't a Jesus guy. Don't talk to me about Jesus. I don't want nothing to do with him. That, you know what? Yeah. That don't work for me. So eventually, I was in my house, and two of my friends came and got me. I went to Fair Oaks Hospital in Summit, New Jersey. And then from there, I started going to AA. I went to over 500-plus meetings my first year. I celebrated a year sober. And I continued with AA and AA, and I found my wife. I had a family. I've never relapsed.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m. or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Pleens Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
I'm dancing on the wings of